Like 40 miles of bad road, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The only podcast with a lazy, lazy audience. And now, highly offended by jokes about crackers, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And I am, as Drew McMillan said, Doug Jones, your Medicare expert. I'm going to be your Medicare expert all week, so be sure and tip your waitress. What we have here is a podcast for lazy men and lazy ladies. And these are people who are approaching Medicare, want to learn a little bit about it, but don't want to learn too much. And they're not really happy about having to learn anything at all about Medicare. Because let's face it, it's not really a fun, exciting subject to dwell upon. And in fact, the only exciting element of the Medicare learning process that I've been able to figure out how to inject into it is the 30-second radio spot that Randy Carson and I concocted. And in fact, if I can ask Randy to play that spot right now.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Ah, isn't that music to your ears? That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate you doing that. Did I mention who Drew McMillan, our announcer, is? He's my Canadian nephew, host of Powerboat TV, which you can watch episodes of on powerboattv.com. It's all kinds of fun with Canadians and fun with powerboats in Canada. They got a lot of water up there, and frankly, Drew McMillan takes advantage of it as one of the two hosts for that TV show. So enjoy that if you have an opportunity. Anyway, I said hello to Randy Carson, so I don't need to say hello to him again. I'm not going to.
Oh, darn it. What did I do wrong?
You did everything correct. You did everything exactly right. Just like Barney Fife, I don't chew my cud twice.
Oh, that's right. I got you.
I kind of stuck it in a little earlier than I'd planned to. I had other things I wanted to talk about. I define the lazy man, lazy lady. They don't want to really have to learn about Medicare if it's going to be painful. So that's who we're talking to. We're trying to make that process a little more palatable, a little easier for them. I've talked about Drew McMillan. I welcome the listeners. I think I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I think I've completed my assignments before introducing you. So hello, Randy.
Hey, Doug.
It's great to have you here.
I asked you before if I'd done anything wrong, and you told me no, so I'm just going to come right back in here and do my shtick.
Yeah, let's pretend that other stuff never happened, shall we?
Okay, all right, that's good. I'm looking at our show notes for today, and I'm really excited about some of our random thoughts.
Well, the random thoughts, I thought, should we do those random thoughts early in the podcast and then deal with Medicare later, or should we, as we've tried to do, be disciplined about our work and deal with Medicare first and bring in the random thoughts afterwards? What do you think? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I am a person that doesn't like to get stuck in a rut, and I really mean that because I once ate at Burger King for 6 months straight. So I don't like to get stuck in a rut, but we could go ahead and switch it up today and do the Medicare first and then leave the people wondering what our random thoughts are going to be afterwards.
Okay, but see, now you've made my mouth water. I'll be drooling while I'm talking about Medicare because years ago I walked into Chompies, Scottsdale Jewish.
Oh, village. My God, I love Chompies.
And I had, I scanned the menu, which was like 10 pages long. It had pictures of things. It was just a million different dishes, every one of which sounded tempting as all hell. But what did I do? I ordered the Reuben sandwich. Because in my world, there's either the worst thing in the world is a badly made Reuben, or the greatest thing in the world is a well-made Reuben.
Right, and right.
They brought my Reuben sandwich out. I had ordered fries. They have killer fries. And I swear, it was the best sandwich I've ever had in my life.
I totally get what you're saying there. The Reuben sandwich, now you and I could probably argue about this for the rest of the podcast. Depends on who you talk to, who invented the Reuben. Mm. There's people will say that it was invented by a chef in Omaha, and there was people that will say that the Reuben was invented by somebody else. But having said that, and now that I know you like Chompies, when you get back out here to home, we're going to go down there because I love their hot pastrami. I will do anything for a hot pastrami.
I understand that completely. And I thought I would like hot pastrami, but I, you know, and the Reuben they can make with either pastrami or corned beef. And so one time I ordered and the waiter didn't even ask me which I wanted and I forgot to specify. And when I bit into it, it wasn't the same for me. And I had to send it back and have one made out of corned beef. And I swear, I have taken people from out of state to Chompies and introduced them to the fine cuisine at Chompies.
Yes,
I have probably been there maybe 100 times.
Yeah.
I have never been able to walk through the doors in that place and order anything other than the Reuben sandwich.
Oh, I'm just the same way with the hot pastrami. And the other thing I can't get past, I mean, literally, I'll make a pig of myself if you let me at the pickle slices.
Oh, boy. They bring a whole platter of pickle slices.
I know.
You can go through those in about 10 minutes.
Can we have some more pickles? I mean, I can go through pickles while I'm drinking a beer. I can go through pickles like crazy.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Chompies. They never turn you down if you ask for more pickles.
I know, but they're awesome. They're freaking awesome.
I know. And the sad thing is that building is going to collapse around them one day. They're in the Paradise Valley Mall, which was a really, really big deal when it was brand new back in probably the 60s. And now if you wander the halls of the Paradise Valley Mall, it's like it's like roaming around in the Winchester Mansion up near San Francisco. It's just empty and abandoned.
Well, it also kind of looks like the post-apocalyptic, era of, trying to get through a mall. There's nobody there. There's tumbleweeds going down the halls. And I think the original's down in Tempe. Have you ever been to that one?
Maybe, but not within recent memory.
Oh, it's great, too.
Well, the Festiva Mall, is that Tempe or a little farther west in Mesa? A little farther east, I mean, in Mesa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Festiva Mall used to be a huge deal, and it just all of a sudden became abandoned. It lost its anchor stores, and they just announced it was going to be completely closed. I don't know. There's a mall here, a big, beautiful indoor mall in St. Charles, Illinois. It's got about two stores in it. It's got a store that's like Von Maur or something, for an anchor.
Yeah.
And then it's got
a store
like on Saturday Night Live that sells nothing but scotch tape. That's it. I drive by that place. They've got a 50-acre parking lot, and it's got three cars in it.
Got any tape here?
it's sad.
You're going to think I'm totally losing my mind out here, Doug, but
So what else is new?
Well, there's that problem, too. But I was thinking the other day, as we're growing, kind of moving on into the holiday season, it really bums me out that there's no malls to walk around, because when I was a kid, one of my big thrills for the holiday season was to come in off the ranch and drive to Omaha and get to walk around a mall.
Well, there are malls that are doing great. There's a killer mall in Geneva, Illinois, but it's all outside. It's not inside. And when winter comes, I don't know why those stores continue to do such great business, but it is doing fantastically. The only thing I can think of is that the overhead, the rent for the stores is a lot less because they don't have to pay to heat the hallways and to pay for the giant, huge parking lot and stuff like that. But this is a really big area. It's like probably 20 acres, and it's just store after store after store after store after store, and they're all doing great. Tons of traffic in there, but it's not an indoor mall. Now, I don't know what the problem with indoor malls is, but
Well, when it's 4,000 degrees below zero in Nebraska, that wouldn't go anywhere.
That's when I don't go to the store. And that's like half a year in Illinois. All right, enough fun. Medicare.
We got to talk about Medicare because we could go about this all day long.
I had all kinds of fun, exciting Medicare stuff for us to talk about. It was going to be the best episode the audience ever heard. And then what happened? I heard from one of our favorite correspondents, Steve. Now, Steve is a guy with a lot of free time on his hands, and he sends me questions frequently. And I don't know, I've never been able to figure out whether he is really intellectually curious about Medicare, because I don't think he's turning 65 until like next summer. I could be wrong about that. But he sends me questions and then waits for me to give him very detailed answers. And I appreciate that. I like it when he writes because he makes me think. He makes me research things, and he makes me put answers to complicated questions into, you know, easily understood bites. And so he performs an excellent service in that regard. But I think it might be like I'm his hobby. Or he might be a graduate student, and he's preparing to write a thesis on Medicare. And so he keeps asking me stuff, and then he's going to get credit for his class, his master's degree in Medicareology or whatever. But Steve wrote me a question, and in the question, he happened to drop a little hint about something that happens every year. And it's something that's so important in the Medicare world that I wait for it all year long. And when it happens, that's the green light for me to start the next year's book. And that happened this year, and it happened last year. And nobody told me about it. This is so important in the Medicare world. You'd think it'd be big news, but no, it's ignored completely. And I've got to find out from Steve, a guy who barely even really cares about Medicare. All he spends his day doing is, how can I confuse Doug?
You're getting your information from Steve now?
Yeah, apparently so. So I didn't ask his question. I said, Steve, you got to tell me where you found out about this stuff. And he said, well, it was I went to look up something in order to make the question harder. And it was in the footnotes or something. So what has happened? Without my knowledge, nobody told me about this. I had to find out from Steve. Is that the 2021 Medicare deductibles, premiums, and IRMA penalties have been announced. And this is something that a lot of people ask about. A lot of people want to know. Other people don't care because you can't really do anything about it. Everything goes up a little bit during the course of time. And so we have the things for next year that Medicare studiers are going to want to know about. And these things are, what is the standard Part B premium amount? Well, for this year, it's $144.60, and we've been talking about that for a year. And I put it in the book last year, the Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. That has the Part B premium at $144.60. Well, that premium is going up to $148.50. So it's going up almost $4, $3.90. Remember, Medicare Part A is free of charge for almost all of us because almost all of us have 10 years worth of taxable earnings. We've worked at some kind of job where somebody paid us for doing some work, and then we've had Medicare as part of our itemized deductions, our taxes that we've had withheld. And the U.S. government says, well, if you have 40 quarters, which is 10 years worth of taxable income, and you've paid those taxes, then Medicare Part A will be free for you for the rest of your life. But Part B is not free unless you're on Medicaid, and then somebody will pay it for you. So Part B of Medicare, which every rational person has to have, is $148.50 per month. And then what do we have? We have the Part A deductible. Now, we've established that Part A is free of charge for almost all of us. But if you have to go into a hospital or a nursing home, or if you have some real serious disease or accident or something, and you're put on treatment of palliative care, which basically leads into, what else do we have? We have treatment for, what is that, Randy, when you're almost dead? You're going to die in 6 months?
Hospice.
Hospice. Thank you so much. Boy, oh boy. I don't want to think about it. I'm not getting any younger. And, frankly.
But you just anyway, blocked hospice. It right out of you. You just blocked it right out of your brain.
You better believe it, I did, and I'm hoping to do that again. But hospice is part of Part A. Hospice, nursing home care, and hospital, inpatient care. All these things where they pretty much lock you up or make sure that you're immobile. And your hospital charges are a function of whatever the government says they're going to be, minus your deductible. So Medicare pays for the first 60 days of hospital charges, except for the fact that you've got a deductible. Now, last year, that deductible was $1,400 and $1,430 or something like that. This year, it's gone up to $1,484. So if you're admitted to a hospital and you're going to be there for a while, the first $1,484 will be your deductible. After that, Medicare pays 100% of your hospital charges up until day 60. You don't have to pay a thing besides that $1,484 deductible. And then if you go from day 61 to day 90, I mean, you're really screwed up and you're in there a long time, you will pay $371 a day as a copay, unless you've got one of my fantastic Medicare supplement plans, which will pay that charge for you. Now, let's say you're in there longer than 90 days. Well, then you're going to be into your lifetime reserve days. From day 91 to 150, you're going to be paying $742 per day, because those are your one-time only, use them and get rid of them, lifetime reserve days. Now, that charge went up $38. So it went from $704 to $742. But in reality, most people don't care about that copay for inpatient hospital, nursing home, and everything else. The inpatient or the inpatient hospital Part A deductible is $1,484. And after that, for most people, your hospital expenses will be paid for. So, what else do we have? We have IRMA, the success penalty. IRMA is the charge that they will add on to your Medicare Part B monthly premium. Now, last year, if you made over $88,000 a year, but less than $111,000, your IRMA penalty would have been $202.40. That's going up about $5 this year. And that's true for all of the categories of IRMA penalties, going up $5 to $10, probably not a lot more than that. 15 is about the most I see here if you're in the highly successful income bracket. So IRMA penalties will affect some people, but not a huge percentage of people. Everybody almost is going to be affected by the Part B premium, which this year, starting in 2021, is going to be about $4 higher than it was last year. And your Part A deductible is $1,484, and your Part B deductible. Where did I see that? That Part B deductible is going to be slightly increased from $198 to $203. It's going up $5. So when I say that we've got about a $200 Part B deductible, yes, last year I was $2 over. And when I say we've got a $200 deductible in 2021, I'm going to be $3 under. I like to round things off so they're easily understood. Sit here and read numbers to people all day long, and boy, they're going to get just like Randy and start taking a nap instead of actually paying attention. So the those are the figures that we're dealing with. No huge changes, no frightening changes, but everything is ratcheted up a notch or two for 2021. And that is all I had to say about the new numbers. Why did I have to find out from Steve instead of from, you know, like the president?
Where, Okay, now, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, keep this in mind. I've always wondered where Doug got all this information from. So now I know. It's Steve.
You know, one day...
What happens when Steve gets hit by a bus?
Well, here's the problem. It's not that Steve's going to get hit by a bus. I believe he's too smart to allow that to happen. I believe Steve is working on a plan right now, probably a nefarious plot, to take over. And you'll be looking at Steve.
That's right.
You'll be looking at Steve through the screen going, "Hi, Steve, how you doing today?" And,
hey, you know, Steve.
That announcer was Doug's nephew.
Oh, my gosh. So now, given the fact we've covered Medicare like a blanket today, let's talk about some fun facts.
You brought this up a long time ago, and I said, by golly, we're going to talk about that because it'll be interesting. And then, of course, we both forgot about it for 6 months. So let's lay it on me. Let's talk about radio call letters.
Radio call letters.
And something just happened. Your light's dimmed, and you got more light shining from your screen. There's something going on in there.
Oh, I put my screen in front of my screen. Oh, okay. So I can read some things.
Oh, that works.
No, it's... Really, the apocalypse is coming, Doug.
That's what it looked like.
Okay, so here's the deal. Not everybody in the world knows this, but I'm always one for fun facts and obscure information. Radio call letters actually have a pattern to them. And there's KNNX, you know, there's WOW, there's all that kind of stuff. But commercial radio stations always start with either a W or a K. And military radio stations always start with an N or an A. And the reason for that is back in 1912, everybody got together and they were all excited about this stuff called radio telegraphs. And one of the things that came out of that meeting was to assign specific letters to identify each country's radio and television signals. The United States was given the letters WKNA, and that's where we got them. Now, in general, everything east of the Mississippi River is a W, everything west is a K, but that's not always true. Because there's a few in the world, like St. Louis, and there's also WWT in Omaha, which is certainly west of the Mississippi River. But generally speaking, it's W's and K's.
Yeah. And also, there's a station, this is how Wolfman Jack got famous. He had a station in Texas, but the transmitter was in Mexico. And I don't know what the call letters were. Did they use the Mexican letter, whatever Mexico was assigned, or was it a Texas station? But the transmitter was in Mexico, and they just torched the airwaves every night. Everybody in the country could listen to Wolfman Jack like he was sitting on your lap. And that's how he got to be famous.
Yeah, as you just implied there, there's also power limitations to transmitters in the United States, but that doesn't hold true outside of the United States. So
His studio was in Del Rio, Texas.
Yeah.
The transmitter was in Mexico, and I think they just turned the cranks up on those dials to the max.
When they fired up that transmitter, it probably dimmed the lights in Houston.
Oh, I'm sure it killed bugs, you know, everywhere in the air, and, you know, electrocuted them and stuff. And then the other thing I thought you were going to talk about was the assigned call letters of the owners of the station often had, at least in Chicago, often had some meaning. For instance, WGN, which is a 50,000 watt AM station, stood for the world's greatest newspaper. Because it was owned by the Tribune Company when back in, I guess, the 20s, when they got their license to have a radio station, world's greatest newspaper was WGN. WLS was owned by Sears, the world's largest store.
Yeah.
And WCFL, which later became a rock and roll station in the 1960s, was the Chicago Federation of Labor. And so there are a lot of stations like that, that the names are actually acronyms for the organizations that own them or founded them or whatever.
So I have one really obscure radio station call letters series that you probably know. It's out of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think that this, they probably won the prize for getting the coolest radio station call letters.
And what was it?
KRAP out of St. Louis, Missouri. Crap. We're listening to crap and more crap.
It seems like, didn't we discuss about license plates and how they try to have little old ladies that police the nasty poo-poo
yes,
words?
There actually is. At least in Nebraska, we've got a little old lady that polices the, what do they call them? The plates.
The vanity plates.
Vanity plates. They police the vanity plates. And this little old lady, that particular job, early in the 80s, it was getting out of her ability to handle. So,
well, this radio station, KRAP, was it KRAP? Yeah,
KRAP.
Because obviously we know the sitcom WKRP.
Yeah.
Doesn't have an A in it in Cincinnati. And it seems like there was some other reference to that, but maybe it was Cheech and Chong. I probably shouldn't use them as a source of information. but there were a lot of weird stations out there. WWW4 in, I think, New York was, how drunk do you have to be to sit there and go, well, if we just say W a bunch of times, that'll be our name for a radio station.
And we can just keep saying it because, you know, if we need one more, we'll just add one more.
Yeah, nobody's going to notice. Well, pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, so next time we'll talk about the fact that the vanity license plates have gotten away from Mabel back in Nebraska.
I think we already talked about that. I don't know what episode it was. I think they can go back about 50 episodes and find Mabel's bio that we went through that one day.
Yeah, she clearly needed to step aside because the modern nomenclature was getting totally away from her. For about a year, we saw vanity license plates in Omaha, Nebraska that would make anybody blush.
Yeah, I'm thinking Mabel didn't speak rap, and she kind of lost control of the as you said, the nomenclature. The kids today, those kids today, I'll tell you.
Oh, my God, yes. Well, we have a great audience that we need to thank today, Doug.
Thank you, audience.
Thank you for joining us, but we've got a few little wrap-up things that we need to take care of, and one of those is go to Amazon.com, and before Doug puts out the 2021 version, you've got to pick up several of the 2020 versions for Christmas gifts and Thanksgiving baskets, right?
Absolutely. They make great stocking stuffers for kids of all ages. And if you want me to autograph them, just bring them on by the studios, and I'll be happy to do that for you. That will turn them into valuable first editions that your heirs will treasure always.
Yes, yes. And also, while you're there buying, you can get one in an audio version.
Mm-hmm.
You can get one in a Kindle version.
Yep.
You can get one, or you can go to Barnes & Noble and get one from them if you want to.
Yep.
There's no reason not to. But really,
Barnes & Noble only has the paperback. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Other than that, if you want the Audible, if you want to listen to these dulcet tones all day long, you can get the Audible book or get the Kindle version and have it downloaded to your Kindle. So,
absolutely.
We've got a terrific website, Medicare
for
that's
the Lazy
right. Man.
I forgot all about that.
MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. There's all kinds of stuff there, including a big map of the United States. You can click on your state, fill out a questionnaire that asks you basically what your name is. I mean, it's that easy. And send it off to us and tell me what you'd like to know about Medicare, and we will address your questions or concerns or help you buy a Medicare supplement if you want.
And last but not least, we love to hear from the audience, so write your questions, comments, and accolades to dbj@mlmmailbag.com, and Doug
Beautiful.
Will be waiting for your email to arrive.
I go to the mailbox several times a day.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think our next episode is going to feature some mailbag stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at the show notes here, so definitely. Well, thanks, everybody. You have just spent about 31 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.